Atlanta's own Dulce Sloan is the newest correspondent on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. She made her debut last week. I spoke with the comedian by phone about her recent success and what she has planned for her time on The Daily Show. Could you tell us about your early life in comedy here in Atlanta? I know you frequented Laughing Skull.
Yeah, the Laughing Skull is my home club. I actually started stand-up because I took the comedy class at the Laughing Skull. And it was because another comic, Big Kenny, who taught the class, I'd met him 2 years before at the Funny Farm just hanging out with a friend. And he told me that I needed to pursue stand-up because I was a comic. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I avoided him for 2 years. And then I just kept running into him, and he finally got me to take a stand-up class.
Stand-up is so scary to people who don't, well, I should say, for some of us who could never imagine doing it. It seems so scary because you're so very exposed. Were there feelings of self-consciousness that you had to overcome in learning to do stand-up?
Definitely, because I had been doing theater since I was a child. So stand-up was scary to me because, you know, when you're in a play, you're not yourself and those aren't your words. And when you're doing stand-up, it's only you. You know, I've been on stage before as an actor where it was just me, where I was either singing or doing a monologue. But stand-up is just you, and it's all you, and it's all of your personality, and those are all of your words. So people aren't only just judging what you're saying, they're also judging you as a person, and that scared me. But the advantage that I had was that since I was a theater performer, you know, a lot of people start stand-up, they have, you know, to get over a fear of just being on stage. I didn't have a fear of being on stage. So I already had a leg up over a lot of people when I started.
Right, but you don't have the security that improv actors have where, you know, there's the yes and someone you can always fall back on. I mean, you have got to be funny or you bomb. Or you may be funny and you're just surrounded by a lot of slow-witted people who don't get what you're saying.
Exactly, exactly. Sometimes the crowd just doesn't, you know, I had, you know, a couple of jokes where I know it's going to take the crowd a second. So, you know, you give them, you know, you have that joke, you give them the second. A lot of comics are afraid of silence. And I had to learn to manipulate silence.
Interesting. We had Tig Notaro on a few weeks back, and she's also great with silence. I think that's a real accomplishment when you understand and you are in control of when the punchline should land or how you can help the audience get what you're trying to get across.
Yes, and I, you know, I had one of the best lessons I learned during stand-up. I was doing a show, and it was like a late Friday show, and the crowd was just real drunk and real loud, and, you know, I got on the stage and my instincts kind of kicked in. So a lot of the comics were trying to talk over the crowd, and what I did inversely to that was I dropped my voice. So I started speaking at a lower tone, and it made them be quiet because they were trying to listen to what I was saying. Because if I would have tried to match their volume, we would have just kept yelling over each other. But to someone, when someone whispers, you pay attention. When someone drops their voice down, you pay attention. So I kind of just learned, you know, if I can bring the focus in and just change the energy, then you can get a rowdy crowd a lot of times to calm down. But that comes from me having a lot of theater experience, mm-hmm. knowing how to control the crowd.
You got white women putting their hands in my afros. See a couple perpetrators in the room. Because they're not classy when they put their hand in your afro. They don't want to stay on the perimeter of the afro. She don't want to keep it Christian, no. She takes the whole hand, goes straight to the scalp. Shake it back and forth, and then exit your afro with this jellyfish action while she's looking at her friend going, Lauren, it's so soft.
Now The Daily Show. Can you tell us what the audition process was like?
The audition process for me was very simple and straightforward. You know, my manager and my agent contacted me and told me, you know, that Comedy Central wanted me to audition for the show, and I had to write and record an original piece and then record a piece that was written for me. And I filmed it on my phone and sent it in, and they liked it, and they flew me out to New York to audition in person, and I had to write a new piece and then do the prepared piece they gave me in front of a green screen. And I sat down at the desk with Trevor. That was the first time I'd ever met him. Sat down at the desk with Trevor and did the desk piece as if I was already a correspondent.
Oh.
And that was the second audition. And they called me 2 hours later and told me I got the job.
Oh, that is amazing. He seems so sweet and so insanely smart. I remember hearing him interviewed first when his memoir came out, and I wondered, what's he really like, Dulce?
He's very sweet, he's very intelligent, and he's very generous. As a creative person and as, you know, this being his show, he always makes sure that whatever piece the correspondents are doing, that it's in their voice. So if we get something for the writers, we all can go through, you know, we sit down with the writers and edit and go, okay, that is something that I would say, that's something I wouldn't say. And so, you know, he looks over the pieces and he knows our voices as well. So he'll look through the piece and go, well, maybe we should change this. That doesn't sound like you. So he wants us to have the best show we possibly can. He wants to put on the best show that he possibly can. So he's very open and he's very supportive of the correspondents and the writing staff.
Mm. What was it like making your debut? I mean, it sounds like the process you went through in audition could just as well have been the debut if you were offered the job 2 hours later.
It took a while for it to sink in, because the good thing is we have a dress rehearsal with the piece, so the first time you do your first piece isn't when it's going to air. So I was, and I'm an old theater kid, so I love a dress rehearsal for anything. But the first time I did it, it was great because, you know, their audience is a different audience. It's a very intelligent audience, and they're a very attentive audience. So they want to hear the jokes. They want to hear what you have to say. So the first time I did it, it was great. The second time I did it, it was great. But to just get that much support from an audience and just to have them hang on your every word was an amazing feeling.
For more, please welcome to the show our newest Daily Show correspondent, Dulce Sloan, everybody.
Thanks, Trevor. Yes, it's Fashion Week. And while we'll see some new looks, some things will never change. For example, we know at least one model will fail at her only job, walking down the runway.
And well, you talked about fashion and cultural appropriation, which was hilarious. What other topics do you hope to cover on the show? Do you get to submit your topics, or do writers and Trevor assign them to you? How does that work?
We do get to pitch a topic that we're interested in or pitch a story that we're interested in. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that I have a balance in what I pitch. So I want to be able to have those, you know, very heavy political pieces, but I also want to do pieces that are just fun.
Well, what is so impressive about The Daily Show, and you alluded to it in speaking about the audience, but the fact that the correspondents are comedians and not journalists, as Jon Stewart used to have to remind people that he wasn't a journalist, yet you're making these very poignant and insightful comments about current events. What do you think comedy can do that a news outlet can't?
I think we can add a levity to a situation and also add a perspective. You know, we don't have to filter it through our political interests. We can filter it through finding the absurdity in what's happening. And I think when people find the absurdity in it, or you can come at the opposite side of an issue, then you can really see both sides of it and get a better picture of what's actually happening, as opposed to, like, this is our agenda and this is what we're trying to push.
Dulce, we are so proud of you, cheering you on here in Atlanta, and wish you continued good luck and success on The Daily Show.
Thank you so much.